The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 19, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on January 21st, 2010, in Lima, Peru.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 19.
Entonces hoy vamos a leer el Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto número 3, capítulo 2, texto 19.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate Te Vasudevaya. Drishta Bhavad Birnanda Rajasuye. Chai Jascha Krishnam Dvishato Pisidhi. Yang Yogina Sangsprihayanti Samyag. Yogena kastad virahang saheta. Drishta bhavad bir nanu rajasuye. Chajascha krishnang dvishatopi siddhi. Yang yogina sangsprihayanti samyag. Yogena kastad virahang saheta. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. You have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success with great interest by performance of their various practices. Who can tolerate separation from him? Purport. Lord Krishna's causeless mercy was exhibited in the great assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was merciful even to his enemy, the king of Chedi, who always tried to be an envious rival of the Lord. Because it is not possible to be a bona fide rival of the Lord, the king of Chedi was extremely malicious toward Lord Krishna. In this, he was like many other asuras, such as Kamsa and Jarasandha. In the open assembly of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, Shishupal insulted Lord Krishna, and he was finally killed by the Lord. But it was seen by everyone in the assembly that a light flashed out of the body of the king of Chedi and merged into the body of Lord Krishna. This means that Chedi Raj achieved the salvation of attaining oneness with the Supreme, which is a perfection most desired by the Gyanis and Yogis and for which they execute their different types of transcendental activities. It is a fact that persons who are trying to understand the Supreme Truth by their personal endeavors of mental speculation or mystic powers of yoga achieve the same goal as others who are personally killed by the Lord. Both achieve the salvation of merging into the Brahma Jyoti rays of the transcendental body of the Lord. The Lord was merciful even to his enemy, and the success of the king of Chedi was observed by everyone who was present in the assembly. Vidura was also present there, and therefore Uddhava referred to the incident. He referred the incident to his memory.
Vandeha. Sri Guru. Sri Jata Varakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva. Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So it's a very clear point. Why should one endeavor for that perfection? It is even given to the enemies of Krishna. If something is given to an enemy, how valuable is it? Actually, though, it's considered hell by the Vaishnavas. They consider merging into the Brahmajyoti to be worse than hell. Why is it worse than hell? Because in hell you can do devotional service. But if you're merged in the Brahmajyoti, you can't do any service. So if a Vaishnava is offered the choice of either going to hell or going to Brahmajyoti, he will take hell as better than Brahmajyoti. Actually, the devotee does not mind going to hell. He simply wants to please Krishna. There is one pastime in this connection. One time, Krishna was sick. Of course, this is simply a lila. Krishna can never be under the influence of the material miseries. I can get sick. Just like now, I am sick. But Krishna, he cannot get sick. But for pastime, he makes show of being sick. And he told his messenger, "Oh, I have a very bad headache." And there is only one thing that will cure my headache. You see, Krishna did not ask for aspirin or for Bufferin or any of these medicines. He said, "There is one thing that will cure my headache. And that is the padaraj of my devotees, the dust, the feet from the dust of my devotees." You see. That will cure my headache. You see, even Krishna, he wants that foot dust from his devotees, you see. So how valuable is the foot dust of the Vaishnavas? Even Krishna is taking the Vaishnava foot dust as his medicine. So he told his messenger, "You go to my devotees and you bring the foot dust." So the messenger, he went searching for some devotees. First of all, he came to some smarta brahmins. And he asked him, he said, you give me, the Krishna wants the foot dust from his devotees to cure his headache. So kindly give some of your foot dust for Krishna. They said, what? Are you loco? If my foot dust goes on the head of Bhagavan, I will go to hell. No way, Señor. No way. We're not giving any foot dust for Krishna. So then the messenger, he went looking a little further, trying to find some other devotees. And somehow he came to Vrindavan forest. And there were the gopi girls. So he approached those gopis. He said, my dear gopi girl, will you please give your foot dust to cure the headache of Krishna? They said, oh, Krishna has headache. Oh, that's horrible. Krishna has headache. Oh. They were so disturbed to hear that Krishna had headache. It was like a knife going into their heart. It was so horrible news for them. And when the messenger asked for the foot dust, they said, yes, here, take the foot dust. Now the messenger was quite amazed by this. The smarta Brahmins had been so much insistent that if you give your foot dust to Bhagavan, you go to hell. And now these gopi girls, they're so eager to give their foot dust. The messenger no comprende. He could not understand. How is it they're so eager to give the foot dust? When by giving foot dust, they will go to hell. So he said, how is it you're so willing? Aren't you afraid of going to hell? They said, no, we don't mind if we go to hell. If we go to hell, that is okay. We don't mind. But we just want that Krishna's headache shall be cured. So this is the mood of a Vaishnava. He doesn't mind if he has to suffer in hell. That is not a problem for a Vaishnava. No problema. But if he has to go to the Brahmajyoti, he will never agree. Not under any condition will he accept that Suyuja Mukti. Because there is no facility for serving the Lord in that merged position. That's one thing. And the other thing is, what's the good of this Suyuja Mukti? What's the good of it? Merging into Brahman. Because Bhagavatam says, Ruya Krishna Parang Padam Tada Patanjito Nadar to Yushmarangriya. That even though you merge into Brahman, what will happen? Patanti, they fall down again. You can get one airplane and you can fly in the sky, but when you run out of petrol, what do you have to do? You have to come in for a landing. So the Mayavadis, they have done great austerities and penances, which entitle them to fly in the sky of Brahman. But when they exhaust the pious activities, when they lose their stock of pious activities, they run out of gas. And they have to come back to this material world again. You see. Therefore, the Vaishnavas, he will accept any type of liberation. There are five types of liberation. There's Sarupya. They have a form like the Lord. There's Sharshti, to have opulence like the Lord. Samipya, to become an associate of the Lord. And Salokya, to live on the same planet with the Lord. And Sayuja, to merge into the Brahmajyoti. Actually, the Vaishnava doesn't ask for any kind of liberation. He just wants to please Krishna. But he will agree to accept any of the first four types of liberation. Sarupya, Sarshti, Samipya, and Salokya. But he will never take Sayuja. Because Sayuja means you cannot serve Krishna. Sometimes we see that those who have attained impersonal Brahman liberation, they become Vaishnavas also. Just like that Shukadeva Goswami, he was in the womb of his mother, and he was perfectly realized in Brahman realization. That's why he didn't want to take birth. Do you know how long he was in the womb of his mother? You know how long he was? 16 years. Dieciséis años in the womb of his mother. Now you can imagine what difficulty that was for the mother. To have a 16-year-old boy with such a big body in the womb. That mother was going through a very hard time, you see. She had to be pregnant for 16 years and 9 months. Muy difícil, you see. But pregnancy is not an easy thing, every woman knows. But just imagine being pregnant for 16 years and 9 months. So anyway, this Sukadev, he was not going to come out of the womb. He had achieved Brahman realization. And he was afraid, if I come out of the womb, I'll fall into Maya. So he would not come out. But then he heard his father, Srila Vyasadeva, speaking the Bhagavatam. And then he became a Vaishnava. While within the womb, he became converted from a Brahmanandi to a Vaishnava. So now he was safe. Because a Vaishnava, he can deal with the material world. He has no problem with the material energy. Why is that? Because he engages this entire material world in the service of Krishna. He sees everything as the property of Krishna. Just like Prabhupada, he told the brahmacharis at 26 Second Avenue. He said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna. So, the Vaishnava has no difficulty with this material world. He simply offers it to Krishna. He tries to collect all the money, all the beautiful girls, and all the people. Engage them in Krishna's service.
Krishna.
Lord Chaitanya said, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. I have no interest in wealth, women, and followers. But this doesn't mean a devotee cannot deal with wealth, women, and followers. This does not mean the devotee is forbidden to deal with wealth, women, and followers. It means that you can collect unlimited wealth, unlimited women, unlimited followers, as long as you gave them all in the service of Krishna. So anyway, Sukadev came out of the womb, finally, after 16 years. His mother-in-law has been very relieved. He's finally come up. But he was thinking, but there's always danger in household life, you see. Even on the royal road, even on the highway, the freeway, the normal streets, there's so many accidents. But even on the freeway, you see, the divided highway with the, like the government makes those freeways. Do you have freeways here?
Yeah.
In the U.S. they call them freeways or tollways. Very, the divided highway with controlled access, it's much safer. But still, there's so many accidents on the freeway. So, Sukadev was thinking, I don't want to take any chances of getting entangled in household life. So as soon as he came out of the womb, what did he do? He immediately started running away from the house. He didn't even wait to run around to get any clothes. He just immediately took off running, you see. And Correr. So he was running, and his father is running him after him, Vyasadev. My dear boy, please come home. We love you. Don't leave home. Please come back. But that boy, he was not coming back, you see. Didn't want to fall into Maya. So in India, there is a custom, even today sometimes, there's the ladies in a hidden place in the forest, they will bathe in the river naked. No man is allowed to go there, you see. So when Sukadeva Goswami was running through the forest, he happened to come upon this place where all the ladies were bathing naked. But it was very unusual because none of the ladies even tried to cover themselves. Here's a 16-year-old young man, and they're not even covering their bodies. They're all naked. Why was that? Because they see he's a liberated soul. He's not seeing man and woman. He's simply seeing the Atma, the spirit soul. So then he went running by, and now Vedavyasa is also coming, running after him. But as soon as those ladies saw Vedavyas, oh, they all covered themselves up. You may say, well, why did they cover for Vedavyas and not cover for Sukadev? Because Vedavyas is a literary incarnation of God. Why they covered up when he came running by? Because he was Grihastha. And a Grihastha, he has to make a distinguish between here's a man and here's a woman. Otherwise, how he can be a Grihastha? A Brahmachari, like Sukadev, he's not seeing man and woman. He's simply seeing, oh, it's spirit souls, that's all. But now Vedavyas, he's a householder, so they all covered up. So that's Sukadev, he continued running. And he came to the holy place on the bank of the river where Parikshit Maharaj was preparing to die. And there it was decided that he would speak the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. He would speak the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So in this way, you see, he became a great Vaishnava. So even if your mind, even if you are somehow indoctrinated in this impersonal philosophy, even if somebody has been taught this Mayavadi or impersonal philosophy, if they can hear from a pure devotee, they can be delivered. Before I came to this movement, I was a follower of this impersonal Brahman philosophy. But by Krishna's grace, I heard the philosophy from the devotees and from Srila
Prabhupada.
And Maya was very kind to me. She gave me a lot of kicks. She tortured me a lot. So I became very serious about self-realization, and I was able to realize the truth of Vaishnava Siddhanta. So this is my greatest good fortune, to come in contact with the ISKCON devotees. Of course, in the beginning, I argued with them. I tried to convince them that their Hare Krishna philosophy was nonsense. And sometimes I would argue so strongly they could not defeat me. I met one devotee who is now my godbrother, Chitsukananda. He stays in Mexico now. Some of you may know Chitsukananda. He's one of the great pioneers of Krishna consciousness in Latin America. But I met him when he was a brahmacharya in Berkeley, California. So I challenged him. I said, "You Hare Krishnas, you say that your senses are imperfect. So with your imperfect senses, how do you think you can have perfect knowledge?" It doesn't make sense. You say your sense is imperfect, but yet I have perfect knowledge that Krishna is God. If your senses are imperfect, how you can know that? And he could not defeat me. He was defeated, you see. Of course, but later on, somehow I joined this movement. And I learned how to defeat my own argument, you see. And I will tell you how to defeat that argument. Yes, the senses are imperfect. And with imperfect senses, you cannot know who is God or what is God. That's a fact. But by hearing from the perfect devotee, your senses become perfect. And then with perfect senses, you can understand who is God. So by hearing from Srila
Prabhupada,
by hearing from those who are strictly following Srila
Prabhupada,
our senses become perfected. And with these perfect senses, then we can understand who is God and what is God. So we have a few minutes left now, about 10 minutes. We have questions now.
para preguntas.
Shila Gurudev, in spiritual life, our engagement in these activities like eating, sleeping, and mating and defending is very dangerous. But what about those subtle activities such as, like, for example, Vaishya, he wants to make money, Kshatriya, he wants to fight, and Brahmana, he wants to study. So how dangerous are these activities?
En el mundo material uno tiene unas actividades como dormir, comer, defenderse, aparearse, y tenemos que los brahmanas se dedican al estudio, los yatras a pelear. ¿Cómo uno puede...?
Actually, Krishna says that one should be engaged in one's occupational duty. Shayan svadharma vigunat paradharmat svanushtitat svabhavan niyata karma kurvan napnoti kilbisham. It is better to gaze in one's own occupational duty, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation, even though one may perform it perfectly. Duty is prescribed according to one's nature. Are never affected by sinful reactions. So actually, one is meant to make some livelihood. Everyone has to earn a living, right? There's no free lunch. Everyone has to earn a living. So the Shudra, he has to, by manual labor, he has to work hard and serve the higher classes and get some salary, get some paycheck. The Vaishya, he has to start some business, make some enterprise for earning money. The Kshatriya, he has to administrate or fight on the battlefield, you see. And the Brahmin, he has to study the Vedic wisdom. And he has to preach, that is his duty. So if these duties are engaged in Krishna's service, then by doing that, one becomes spiritually advanced. And if these duties are engaged in the service of Maya, then one becomes degraded. Just like we see the professors in the university, their so-called intellectual life is simply speculation. They don't use their intelligence to understand the absolute truth. A Brahman is someone who uses his intelligence to understand what is the absolute truth. These foolish intellectuals, they say, there is no absolute truth. But we have to ask them, are you absolutely sure? You understand? If someone says, I'm absolutely sure there is no absolute truth, that means they just contradicted themselves. Everyone understands, entendió? Or not? Maybe it didn't get translated well enough.
Okay, la cosa es así. Si yo digo, estoy absolutamente seguro de que no hay una verdad absoluta, porque la primera definición que yo digo es algo absoluto, y si yo digo que eso absoluto no es, me estoy contradiciendo a mí mismo. ¿Se entendió?
So one should use one's propensity in Krishna's service, and then there is no harm.
Entonces tenemos que ocupar todas nuestras propensiones en conciencia de Krishna, y ahí no habrá ningún problema.
Yat kadoshi yadasnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat kadushva mad arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform. Do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So are there any more questions? Only sometimes? That's pretty good. You're making advancement. Okay.
Okay, entonces, how can I do to become free of the influence of ego, false ego?
Yes. How to kill the false ego. You'd like me to train you how to be a false ego killer? Well, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he gives very good teaching in this connection. He said, in the morning when you get up, beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And in the evening you beat your mind with broomstick 100 times. In other words, you have to constantly tell yourself you are rascal number one. Because you gave up devotional service of the Lord to try to compete with God here in this material world. You see, you're so stupid. And all of us, we're so stupid that we gave up a life, an eternal life full of knowledge and bliss, to try to imitate God's position, ending up with temporality, ignorance, and misery instead. False ego begins. Or is manifested, I mean to say, in bodily consciousness. If you think you're a woman, then you're suffering from false ego. Or if someone thinks I'm a man, he's suffering from false ego. Because you're identifying with a body. One can think, well, I am a spirit soul, but I have a man's body or I have a female's body. That is proper. It's not that one thinks, well, I'm a spirit soul, so, you know, even though I have a male body, since I'm a spirit soul, I think I'll wear a sari, you know. You have to act, you have a duty to act in terms of your body, you see. So the women, they wear saris, and the men, they wear dhotis. So, but that doesn't mean you should think that I am a woman. You should understand, I am a spirit soul, but I am presently embodied in a female body. Therefore, I follow certain guidelines from the Vedic wisdom that apply to persons who are in female bodies. And the men also, they think like that. So I have to, even though I'm not this body, I have to act in terms of this bodily covering that I have right now. So if you'll always remember that I'm not the body, and I'm not the Lord of all I survey, I'm not the center of the universe, and just try to engage everything in the service of Guru and Krishna. then he'll naturally become free from false ego. Jivera Sarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadas. Always remember that you're the eternal servant of Krishna. And then you're free from the false ego, automatically. We have maybe 60 seconds left now for one quick question. Yes.
Enjoy the service. I'm doing service many years, and enjoy the service.
How can I enjoy the service?
Yes.
To do the service in so many
how to
ways?
Enjoy service? Yes. If you do the service in such a way that Krishna and Guru are pleased, then you will find unlimited enjoyment in that service. In other words, don't try to enjoy the service. But try to do a service in such a way that Guru and Krishna are very pleased with you. Well, the answer is this: just what I'm explaining. If you think I want to please my guru and please Krishna by serving them nicely, I want to please the Vaishnavas by serving them nicely. If you always think of giving enjoyment to others, you see, by your service, then you will enjoy unlimitedly. So you should simply know this is the secret of how to enjoy devotional service. Do it in such a way that Guru, Vaishnavas and Krishna are pleased with you. The more you're in the mood of giving enjoyment, the more you get enjoyment. And the more you're in the mood of taking enjoyment, the less you enjoy. You understand? Giving, the way to get enjoyment is to give enjoyment. And the way to not get enjoyment, and the way to not get enjoyment is to try to take enjoyment. Why are you shaking your head now? I don't follow.
One has to joyfully serve. Joyfully serve the Vaishnava, joyfully serve.
That will happen automatically. If you're in the mood of pleasing them, you will naturally be joyful. That's my point.
Even if you are not joyful, you must joyfully do the service, happily.
But if you're not joyful, how you can be joyful? Huh?
Service has to be done joyfully. One may do the service, even thinking about pleasing the devotees. If there is no joy to do the service, they will be doing grudgingly. And they won't be happy.
It sounds like what came first, the chicken or the egg? Even if there is, even if you're not feeling the joy, do it as if you were joyful.
Yes.
And the joy will come. That's also there.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like in Gargamuni, when Prabhupada would enter the room, Gargamuni would not offer his obeisances. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, he asked him in the questions, he said, Prabhupada, when you offer the room, everybody offers obeisances, but I do not. Because I do not feel it is natural for me to offer obeisances.
porque yo no sentí que esa era mi naturaleza.
Is that all right, Prabhupada?
Eso está bien, Prabhupada.
Actually, he said Swamiji then. Yeah, that's fine. Is that okay, Swamiji?
Está bien, eso está bien, Swamiji.
Prabhupada said, no, you must bow down.
Y Prabhupada le dijo, no, tú tienes que,
because by bowing down, the natural feeling will come.
Por caer abajo,
so even though you don't feel joyful to do the service,
de disfrutar el servicio devocional,
you should do it as if you were joyful.
Si tú lo haces,
and then the joy will immediately come.
El disfrute automáticamente vendrá.
Should always be enthusiastic.
Siempre ser entusiasta.
Even if you don't have the enthusiasm,
aun si no tienes el entusiasmo,
just do it on the order of your guru. Your guru is ordering you that you must do everything with great enthusiasm.
Si el guru te ordena, entonces tú lo tienes que hacer con más entusiasmo.
So even if you personally do not feel the enthusiasm, you should think, Guru Maharaj has ordered me, I must do everything with enthusiasm. So by surrendering to your Guru's order to act with enthusiasm, even if you do not have the enthusiasm, you will immediately get the enthusiasm. Entendió? Prabhupada ordered me to always be enthusiastic, you see. So even if I feel like hell, you see. Just like I was very sick before I started this class. I was feeling very sick. My eyes are itching and so many problems. Nose was running. I felt like going to bed, you know.
Yeah.
But I just tried, I mean, just throw my heart and soul in doing this, making this very enthusiastic class, you see. Now I'm feeling very good. So, okay, we'll stop here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.